Nancy?
Well, I first met Nancy when I took her celestial navigation course at Big Island Marine, and I really liked her, and then I started taking sailing lessons from her. Although I knew sailing, but she had offered a course on her boat, the Nellie Bly, a 42-foot wooden catch, and it was 6 2-hour lessons for $150, so it was such a good deal. That and I really wanted to get out on the water. That I went out. Anyway, we became friends during that time, and she asked me to crew for her on some charters that she was doing with the Oceanic Society. That she'd been doing them together with Steve. Steve had been doing them also on his boat, the Gershon One, and Nancy had been doing them on the Nellie Bly. So that's how I met Nancy, and over time we just got along. She was a great, inspiring, enthusiastic, and an interesting lady. And so eventually, I wanted to get a sailboat. I was looking at a Choi Li, a 35-foot, this old Elvis boat that had been in Blue Hawaii. And I'd been negotiating with the people for months and months. It was from July to October, and I finally got them down to almost half of what they were asking. And then Nancy calls me up and says she has this boat that she wanted me to go in on with her. So that's what I did. I changed my mind and went in with her on Goodwind. And at the same time, Steve also had an interest, came in and had an interest in Goodwind. And so then we started doing projects. Nancy had been able to get a contract with the University of Hawaii doing their Blue Water Marine Lab program. We also advertised trips to Fanning Island, about 1,000 miles south of Hawaii. And so that was the beginnings of a great friendship.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, both of you told me that Nancy is so inspiring. I mean, what is it about her? What happened? It's just.
She was. She had sailed with Bob Griffith for many years, and Bob was just a wonderful sailor. Very. You know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? He could make something out of nothing, and they were very low-tech. They wrote a book. When I first met them, they were just finishing their book, Blue Water, which is still a wonderful book on how to do low-tech sailing. And she just, I mean, can't do was not in her vocabulary. And she was, even in her 50s when I first met her, she could climb the rig, stand up on her bosun's chair, just could do anything, and had this love of life and love of sailing, and just totally kept up with creative ideas. And of course, they had just a lifelong anecdotes of all their sailing adventures, three circumnavigations in the 60s and early 70s, and just really inspiring. Inspired me to get my license, and then she and I started Blue Water Cruising, a little sailing school for about 3 years in Kona, and I got to sail with her a lot, and the more I sailed with her, the more I admired her, and we, of course, became close friends, and we stayed friends all the way through the rest of her life.
Yeah, so did the three of you ever sail together, you and...
We did. We enjoyed sailing together. Of course, eventually we were all captains, and we had our opinions. And but we respected each other, and we enjoyed each other's company, and we did. We did like to sail together.
So tell me about one of your sails together.
Well, let's see. You know, Nancy also ran a shipping company down in the Cook Islands, and she first started with Edna, which was a sailing catch. And did cargo between the Northern Cooks and Fanning and Christmas and those areas from Hawaii. And then she had a motor freighter, Avatapu, that she ran out of Rarotonga. And I was fortunate to go with her on deck a few of those trips. which was great. But let's see, some of the trips with Nancy, we did the Blue Water Marine cruise for a whole year, and we had a great fun with that. The three of us were sailing together a lot, and we just took turns who was captain, but it didn't hardly matter. And we would take all the school kids out from port to port throughout Hawaii, and then we even sailed with some of the star students. We took some down to Christmas and Fanning, I think, on a trip.
Yep.
And then one time we picked up Nancy in Tonga, no, in Rarotonga, and sailed to Tonga with her, and that was most wonderful. I think the best trip we ever had was the trip from Australia to Lord Howe to North Island. The three of us and two other sailors. It was just a really hardcore crew, and we left Australia, got to Lord Howe, just enjoyed Lord Howe a lot, and then when the wind came up, which means we had to leave North Lord Howe in the southwesterly, and then we had a romp of Gershon really sailing hard, and all of us really enjoyed it, and it was just a great... That may have been her last sail, but anyway, we all had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I think that was her last sail, but what a sail that was. That was
Nancy's last sail?
Yes, that was Nancy's last sail. She was having problems with her knees, and she was so afraid of having an operation on her knees because she thought it would disable her. But she continued to have problems with her knees and walking and keeping her balance on board the ship. So it just made it very difficult for her to get up and down the companionway and to get around. And so I think she sort of resigned herself to a more land-based life. And she fulfilled that by getting into her coffee farm and selling organic coffee and actually winning an award for her coffee. And so she was fully dedicated to almost any project or endeavor that she was focused on. She had wonderful focus and determination and persistence. And it just wasn't on the in sailing. It was in most matters of her life that she was dynamic. Forthright, honest, but just persistent in terms of her goals. But she was always respectful of everybody else. She was always respectful of other people's opinions, and their motivations. But she held her own.
So tell me about the sail. From New Zealand to Lord Howe to...
No, Australia to Lord Howe to New Zealand.
Okay.
Well, from Lord Howe to New Zealand, we probably had 25 to 35 knot southwest winds. The Gershon was reefed down. Her wind vane was working. We were probably doing 7 to 8 knots straight. I think we did the trip from Lord Howe to around North Island on the east coast in 5 days. Probably about 800 miles or 900 miles or something like that. We were probably doing 160, 170 miles a day. And what was so fun was, in those rough conditions, sometimes you'd have crew problems, there'd be weak crew, people wouldn't feel good. But this group was so hardcore that everybody was having fun. We'd be singing, they'd cook food, standing on their head. And it was just so great to sail with 5 people. Everybody was having a hoot and a holler in time with this great sail that it just made it very enjoyable for everybody.
It was great. And, you could know that no matter who was on watch, you would be comfortable sleeping. You wouldn't have to worry about what was going on up on deck. But it was a great sail. It's wonderful to sail with people that have the experience and the knowledge and also the mental attitude to enjoy and be happy to be out there. They don't have any reservations about what they're doing and where the conditions. So that's something Nancy always taught me too, was how much no matter what the conditions were, you just found something in it that was just so great to be out there anyway, so so it 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 you know, she never complained, and but that trip was great. That was one of the last great sales that we had with Nancy, and it was terrific.
And so, tell me about the Edna. Were you two at all involved with the Edna?
I wasn't involved in the Edna, but I got involved in her second cargo boat, the Avatapu. That it was a she had found through one of our partners, Masa, had found a Japanese fishing training vessel, a longline training vessel in Yokohama, and so they went and they looked it over, and they went ahead and bought it, and then they fixed it up. And then they put a whole bunch of used cars on it and sailed it to Tonga, and where they sold the cars, of course, to some of the objections of the bureaucracy there. But anyway, they and then they eventually got it to Rarotonga, where she ran cargo like she had been doing with the Edna before, and. I'd been connected with her in different ways and in different projects, and always enjoyed and trusted, and the service that she didn't make a lot of money, but it serviced these people out there in the Pacific that she just loved, that we all love. They're just one. It's a wonderful culture, and because of our. In our small way of trying to help these cultures survive, in the modern world, bringing goods and stuff. That I think supporting that was important to her and to us.
And like I first knew Edna because I just happened to be back in Hawaii when Brad Ives, the guy you're going to go sailing with on Kauai, sold Edna to Nancy. So I actually got to do the transaction for him and help them do the paperwork. And I never actually got to sail on Edna because I was off sailing on Gershon. So I actually never got a chance to sail on Edna. But some of the crew on Edna have become our very closest friends over the years. Q and Pahoa and David Jameson, who's... does yacht help up in Fiji, and we're still close with him, and so it's a little family. And then she did on Avatapu, all her crew were Palmerston Island guys that all came from this little island in Palmerston, and she would like educate them, teach them to read. One of them became a licensed captain, and everybody she dealt with in the islands just loved her. The islanders looked forward to her ships coming. She did everything cheaper than the other shipping companies, and so they were a little bit, aggravated that she caused them to be competitive. And you could just tell every place they went, they loved Nancy. They told stories about Nancy, and she was greatly respected in the whole Pacific region there.
There weren't many women that were captains running cargo boats out there, and so she was an anomaly. And so it was just inspiring for them to see that here's a lady, a nice person that's actually out there running this ship and doing the things that they thought only men did. And but she did it gracefully and as best she could, and so I think that was inspiring to them and probably to a lot of the ladies on the island as well.
To see a woman show up running their boat.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did the men on the island deal with that?
Most of the men respected her because after dealing with her, they realized that she, was forthright and honest, and she had nothing to hide, so they felt like she was fair. They were dealing with somebody earnestly and not duplicitously, and so I think they respected her in terms of that. I don't know how they thought of her as being a woman in that role. But she certainly was accepted as in that role because she continued until she couldn't to run the business.
Mm-hmm. She would be like, and she was forceful. She could take command, but she didn't have a male ego. So it was a great combination to have all the positive parts. She could be very domineering, and I guess that some people might have gotten offended by it, but since she had the knowledge and experience to back up what she was controlling, people like Terry and I just, you know, had no trouble working with her at all. She was a wonderful person who helped everybody in her life. She just was a helper, and she would help these island guys. Always help the women. She'd take hats. She'd, like I say, none of those businesses made much money, but it sure was interesting, and it really helped those islands getting their supplies and having enough food and having enough fuel. And that was her main concern. She just was in love with the whole romantic view of that life.
One thing that, a little aside, in terms of my reference to her after she found that it was very difficult for her to go sailing because of her knees, and that she was working on the coffee farm. Well, she got very involved in the coffee with the other coffee farmers, and in fact, with a lot of the ladies who were involved in the coffee farms, she put out a calendar of nude women, including herself, discreetly covered by plants and different things, for promotion and of the coffee farmers. And so it was a very clever way of promotion, and she was very sharp.
So radio works really well when you get little stories. So can you think of a sailing story?
Yeah, like what?
With Nancy, or with, well, with...
Well, when Nancy was younger and sailing with Bob, they were going up the Red Sea. This is back when Nasser was dictator of Egypt. And they got wrecked on a reef in the southern part of the Red Sea with the original Awani. And they had their young son, Ra, Reed, a nurse for Reed, a caretaker, and Bob and Nancy. And so they realized they had to go get help. So Bob took Reed and the nurse on a passing ship. They flagged a passing ship. That's a whole long story of how they got out there. And the dinghy was falling apart. And they finally got out. They flagged a ship down with a mirror. Finally got a ship to stop, got this little dinghy out there. It's really windy. And then Nancy said, well, I'm going to go back, and I have to guard the boat. Well, Bob and the captain didn't want to let her off the boat, but Nancy insisted, got in the dinghy, rowed back to the wrecked Awani and guarded this boat during all the time that Bob had to go up to Alexandria, put Reed and the nurse in a apartment, get supplies, and then arrange for the Navy to bring them back down with two frogmen to help repair Awani on the beach down there on the reef. And so meanwhile, Nancy's watching pirates like take off on the far shore to come get her as she stands guard with a shotgun alone for weeks. It's a great story. Meanwhile, Bob is able to secure some supplies and these frogmen. And they get down, convinced that the Egyptians wanted to go down and mess with Yemen or something. So they came back down, dropped the frogmen and these materials off. They were able to repair the boat enough. And Bob knew how to do dynamite. Anyway, they dynamited a hole back through the reef, got back out, sailed back to Alexandria. Meanwhile, Nancy, you know, kept the whole thing together. This is the kind of woman she is, right? And then the story goes on from there, of course, a really fun story about how the chief of police of Alexandria tried to get at the nurse, and she reported him, and they had a big court-martial, and they were involved in this huge, long court proceedings in foreign language. They didn't understand anything, and but finally got Awani fixed enough to proceed on their circumnavigation. Yeah, they were circumnavigating in the 60s, so it was a much different pre-GPS, pre-AIS, much more fundamental type cruisers. And that's how Nancy became such a good seaperson, seaman.
So do you guys have any stories of where you were actually on the same sail that you can tell me about with Nancy? You told me that
We did a lot of inter-island sailing, and the channel between Maui and the Big Island is the Alanui Haha Channel is quite rough at times. And in my sailing with Nancy, I was able to see her climb the rig in very rough conditions, do things out on the... One time she had to tighten the triadic stay that went between the main mast and the mizzen mast. She would do things that I wouldn't do.
What's a triadic stay?
It's a stay that goes between the top of the main mast and the top of the mizzen mast, and it kind of holds them parallel. And she was fearless. I mean, I sailed with her quite a few times in very rough conditions, and we'd be up there on the bow together, waves breaking over us, and she was just as tough as you could want. There was no sea person I would go to sea with that I felt more comfortable as a mate than Nancy. And then she'd come back and crack jokes. We'd cook, you know, coffee or whatever, and just loved every minute of it. She was just loved the ocean and was just a very competent sailor, woman or men notwithstanding. She was just very competent.
Yeah, she was great sailing with Nancy, although she wasn't well known for her cooking. And she loved to make pancakes. She loved to make these pancakes. And she would pass these pancakes up. She'd be down in the galley, and she'd be passing these pancakes up, and they were like little lead saucers. And we would use them as saucers and then fly them off the deck into the ocean because they were just so heavy and thick and hard to eat.
She wouldn't use Bisquick because she thought that was squandering funds to buy it all mixed together, so she would insist on buying flour and baking powder and a little salt or whatever separately. But I think she just never became a good cook because she didn't want to ever be put in the traditional woman's role of having to cook. So she just wasn't a good cook. Pancakes was one thing, and she knew how to burn rice really well.
It might have been a way of her encouraging other people to get into the galley, and I love to cook, and so I spent a lot of time in the galley, and especially in defense of trying to keep her out of it. And so I love to do the provisioning, and I love to do the cooking, and she liked me to do it too, because it wasn't something she cared about. And although when we were getting ready for a trip one time, she insisted that we take our paying passengers with us to the store to help do the provisioning. So I assigned one guy to go off and get a 5-pound box of chicken thighs, frozen chicken thighs. So I thought that's pretty simple directions. And so he came back and brought this, it looked like 5-pound box of chicken thighs. It's sort of what it looked like. And so we loaded it up and brought it to the boat. Well, Nancy, on her way down, she was leaving on a trip. I wasn't sailing with her that time, but I was helping her to provision the boat. And as she was sailing down, we didn't have refrigeration on the boat. We just had ice. So the ice would last about 5 to 6 days or so. So you had to use your frozen stuff. So she, about the fifth day, she was going to use these chicken thighs. And she brings them out. Turns out they're all chicken livers. And 5 pounds of chicken livers. She never forgot that. She never forgave me. And she cooked them up, and they ate them, and they had a... I mean, I love chicken livers, but I don't think they cared for them that much.
She was. Let's see what else. She had a wonderful romance with Abe Lukella on Lanai, which we we went to often as part of our inter-island trip after crossing the channel to La Perouse Bay in Maui. Then we go to Manele Bay, this magical place that Terry was talking about yesterday. And one of the people we met there was Abe Lukella, and he was Gabby Pahanui's nephew and was just a marvelous musician, could play guitar, ukulele. And we would go there a couple of times a month and hang out there. And she fell in love with Abe, and they eventually got married. And it was quite, it was for a long time, it was quite a wonderful love affair. And we went through so many magical times with them, both the Blue Water Marine Cruise. I think the three of us really enjoyed that a lot. Taking out all those kids all the time and inter-island sailing, and then my charter work with Nancy. She just taught me everything I know about going to sea, really. And then for years afterward, we all became friends, and so our families are intertwined. Her son, Tano, went with us on Gershon's first trip to the Marquesas from Hawaii, and we still are involved. I first met Tano when he was 6, and he's like 42 now. And so we are still together as a family and all that stuff.
Bruce is here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well. Oh.